Welcome back to the Ether. This is part two of the two-part space, UI, UX, and Web3 design. Let's explore new possibilities. Hosted by Pawn. Recorded on Monday, January 31st, 2022. Let's take a listen.
I wanted to speak about the design education part. Right. I think it's where we have a whole lot of problems. Right. I'm going to speak from my own experience, right? I've taken up two UI UX design boot camps, and honestly, after the boot camps, I would say I was disappointed with what I got, because I was just taught to follow the UI UX design principles. I was taught to follow material design. You know, I was taught to always follow the Apple design framework and stuff, and it really hindered my growth in UI UX. So I had to, you know, break away. I had to drop out from those boot camps. I had to start on my own. I'm just going to do this on my own, and I had to figure out ways on my own and think about real life situations, real life scenarios, and I had to ask people literally. Okay, what do you feel about this? How do you feel about this? What do you think I could do? What do you think could have been done to make this better for you and stuff like that? So I think the major issue is many people are not really UX designers. Many people are just, UI builders. So we need to find a way to educate people to really be UI designers or UX designers. And in doing that, I believe we could... instead of giving them design principles and say, follow these guidelines and stuff, let's let them explore, right? If you're going to have a bootcamp for 6 months, let them explore for like 2 months on their own, right? Let them start exploring. Then by then they get to class. They bring all their ideas together, and then, you know, we can fish out the ones that are not supposed to work, that are not supposed to be there. The ones that work, you know, we can separate them into their different classes that way. That's just my contribution.
Thank you for contributing. We really appreciate you coming up here. Precious, I think you're next.
Hello, everyone. Hi, good evening from this side. Yeah, so I'll just go straight to the point here. The question of asking how do we get more designers, jobs, and all of the opportunities and stuff here. So personally, I think the best way for us to get more jobs for designers and stuff here is, let's have sit-downs with developers, because most of the time, these guys, they know what's up, you know, like what is possible and what is not, you know. I can be a designer thinking I can press one button and something will change to something else, you know, like, once I know what is possible, then it will help my creative thinking in knowing what's next. Do you understand? So as per stuff like designing something, most of the times when we design, we're just trying to be safe. We're just trying to play it safe and like, let this button be here because this is how the developer wants it. Or let it be like this. Or this feature is not possible. Or this feature is possible. You understand? So I just feel it's actually more of a conversation with we and the developers, and like, yo, I have this idea, is it possible or not? And when they say it's possible, then we can now think beyond, you know. But expecting the designer to start to come up with all of this, like, trust me, man, the way Dribbble is, most of these designers design this thing the way it is in their head, you know, like, this is how I'm thinking. But then again, after all your creativity and all of that, one developer comes and say, guy, all you've done is rubbish. You know, and most of the time, as a good designer, a developer would still tell you this thing is not possible. So most of the time, I feel it's the developer that hinders the creativity of designers. Designers, trust me, can think beyond. We can turn the home button upside down and try to do some other stuff. So it's actually the developer's fault why most of these things are not working. So that's really what I have to say. Thank you very much.
I really
come on MySpace and blame devs. Hold on, man.
Yeah.
I love that perspective. There's definitely some weak front end devs out here that you definitely don't need to be working with. Tell your firm to hire me because I can implement any design you come up with. It don't matter. But
you don't need to sell yourself, okay? I told people to follow you.
Dude, I don't even want no followers, man. Like, I don't care about that. I'm trying to make money.
Oh, yeah.
Don't hire Devlin, hire Pawn. All right, I'm just kidding. Devlin's amazing. But Elizabeth, what's going on? Talk to us.
Well, hey everybody. How y'all doing? This is awesome. This is probably the third or fourth day I've been listening into Ilhan's groups and Pawn, I think I tweeted something at you the other day, and that's what got me into this space. So I want to just say how much interesting ideas have been bounced back and forth and kind of respond to some of them. I've been a product designer started in around 2007, so like 14 years now. And I've been teaching for a long time as well in the design space. And one of my first projects in like AR and expanded reality was back in 2016 for Stanford when they were developing some AR for surgery and medical, the ability to use augmented reality for surgery and seeing organs and stuff like that. So it was really, really early stages of this stuff. But I started out in Web 2 in the startup space in Silicon Valley, and really, to understand that space is to understand that it was all engineering and business-led agile teams, right? They were building tech. They were building tech first, and they weren't thinking much about the design or the user experience. It wasn't really even a term. And what happened, I think, was that over time, to get that competitive edge, the more and more stuff that came out into the market, the more and more they had to take into account the user experience. And the more solutions that became available, the more users became discerning. I think one of the issues is that UXers were always kind of trying to retrofit user-centered practices into that technology, right? With these engineering-led technologies. And that's kind of been our fight ever since. And partially, it's our fault because, one, I kind of see the same thing repeating now with Web3 stuff, is because designers kind of shy away from the space because of the high technical learning curve, kind of the fears about the tech itself, not understanding it, and also the concerns over tech that, you know, Web3 is not without its flaws, but I think they make it quite a bit more scary by not understanding it, right? That fear of the unknown. And I think one of the biggest issues that I've seen, because I've taught at a lot of those boot camps that I think it was Simple UX was mentioning over the years, is that, you know, these programs are really taught from a very limited perspective of just the user side, just the user advocate side, and not taking into account product market fit and the ecosystem of investing and, you know, the lean canvases that are required to understand the connection between the business requirements and the technical constraints. And so I think UXers are left with a very limited point of view about how it all works. And then, as I mentioned to Pawn, I was saying that understanding that underlying system is very important, because at the end of the day, what we're all doing is creating a visual abstraction layer over the system and the user interactions. And how far we abstract away from that is what's really telling in how much we're able to innovate, right? You can take Apple for an example. Apple was able to extract so far away from it that they came back around to a very humanized way of interpreting a mental model, right? Because I remember, like, you know, historically, if you wanted to undo something that you typed, for example, like on your phone, you would have to find that undo button or, you know, go into a context menu and find it. But then Apple did that really cool thing where you can shake your phone, right, to undo it the same way you would shake your head. So it's kind of that interpretation and reimagining and taking it back to a really human form that they were able to do so elegantly. But it wasn't without a lot of pushback, right? And like Pawn was saying, how do we innovate? And like I think Web3 lady was saying, we do have these mental models that have been established because of the constraints of technology and because of the engineering-led practices that we tend to be very afraid to push back on it because it does take so much testing. It does take so much analysis. But I think one interesting way, and Arias was saying this too, right? Collaboration is so important to kind of get us over our fear of the technology as well, to pair up with engineers and developers and to do this together so that we're kind of influencing it more from the ground up and not going backwards in retrofitting the way we've been doing it for so long. But a lot of that is we really need to lower the barrier of entry to it in education and make it much more digestible for designers to kind of feel like they can get into the space early, because a lot of them aren't. A lot of students are barely struggling. I mean, they're very much struggling with the bare minimum of understanding interaction design and information architecture and all of that stuff. So there's that big hurdle there. The other thing, and I forgot who was mentioning it, but we were talking about like the experiences of, you know, paying a bill versus gamification. And one of the things there that I use in the program that I teach now is jobs to be done theory, because now we're talking about what is the reason for the experience, right? Is it a functional experience? Is it a utility? Is it emotional? Is it entertainment? Because the mental model is going to be very different for those things, and also the investment and the reward. We're willing to invest a lot more into games that are very entertaining and give us that quick dopamine hit of a reward than we are into figuring out how to navigate a new experience for paying our bills, because that's, you know, fucking depressing. So, I mean, we have to think, you know, the reasoning for the experience too. And I think a lot of that will come in kind of personalization, right? Because let's say we do finally, as UX designers, get this baseline of, and I think kind of the main question to answer right now for us is, how do we understand decentralized information and autonomy? And how do we like create centralized and personalized experiences out of that? I think that's the challenge that we're facing, because they're kind of at odds, but at the same time, they have to find a common meeting ground. And I think personalization is a big thing for that, and being able to kind of choose your own journey and understand the underlying, I guess, motivations behind the experience. And yeah, I mean, a lot of, you know, UX education, it's conflating needs and solutions and not understanding that product market fit comes from alignment of those technical constraints and the underlying technology and the actual solution. So, you know, there's so much opportunity for that. And I think Web3 lady was talking about just kind of the UX writing. And I think there is so much potential for UX writers in this space to help actually start this off, because, you know, and this is the testing that I think a lot of you were talking about as well. It's that when a user comes into the space, we have to be able to ask the right questions of them now. And some of the things are like, they're wondering right now at a baseline, people that are unindoctrinated into tech, is my information safe, right? Is my money safe? Am I doing this right? Can I undo this if I make a mistake? Why is this taking so long? Blockchain does not happen at the speed of Web2 technologies. DApps are very different. Foundationally than apps are now. So these are the kinds of things like, what's the difference between this option and that option? If my data is anonymous, how do I prove it's mine? You know, what's this term versus that term? So there's a lot of room for UX writers to like remove that jargon and create transparency in these little micro interactions and things like that. So yes, collaboration is a big part of it. And we have to kind of, I think a lot of the things we talk about when we're so, you know, entrenched in the space as we are, is there is a lot of jargon. We probably said so many words that the basic user would never understand, or even designers entering into the field now. So I'm definitely hoping to learn more from all of you guys, especially new designers. I wish they would speak up more and not be afraid of asking stupid questions, because I learn from my students a lot about that, because I get to hear the way they think about it and the way they say it and ask the questions. And I think that would help us get to kind of a middle ground and a place where we can, you know how to collaborate with each other better. So yeah, thanks. That's my spiel. But thank you guys, because it's been really enlightening.
Thank you so much for coming, for providing so much value. I really appreciate you.
Absolutely.
That was amazing. That was
fantastic. I mean,
Ilhan,
yes, I think that's what I'm saying. I literally just wrote down. I literally just wrote down a topic list off of what she said that could be turned into like research points, like articles. If there's any UX writers in here, just hit me up. I just wrote down like everything she said because she was preaching. But let's go to.
I'll share some too. I have a big YouTube channel that I'm talking a lot about this stuff. So I want to do a lot more content around this and kind of getting, you know, new designers from the Web 2 space to be a little less afraid of the Web 3 space. So yeah, check that out. I'll share some links with Pawn. Thanks, guys.
I think I've shared her YouTube channel.
Absolutely.
Y'all want to check? Yeah.
Elizabeth, we should definitely talk regarding that. UX writing. We should connect on that. She's different. Go ahead, Arius.
No, I wasn't talking. I think Mark, or is it Mac, if it's the person next to talk.
Thanks, guys.
One second, just a second. I got to go through a list. One second. Oh, there she is, Elizabeth. Did you have anything else?
I disconnected. Who was saying that they'd like to connect? I missed that.
Yeah, that was me. I was saying because you were mentioning like, and I was like UX research. Yeah, we should definitely talk because I write a lot. I'm trying to do some coverage in this whole space.
Oh, great. Yes, we'll connect for sure.
Perfect, perfect. Now, let's go to mech.eth. What's up?
Hey, yeah, I just, you know, wanted to chime in. I feel like Elizabeth covered so much of what I think is important. I think the few things that I haven't heard since I've been in this space have to do with accessibility. And I'm not really sure how long this space has been going, but I guess the two main things that I want to mention is because the space is growing so fast, it's mostly being built for function and not form. And the considerations of like user journey and those sorts of things aren't even really part of the equation at this point. I would encourage folks who are, you know, in the UX and UI field to actually pitch to these DAOs, these technologists, to dApps that you don't think are doing the job well. I think they generally have funds, but aren't making the consideration and don't realize that they have that missed opportunity. I have a habit of, you know, reaching out to DAOs when I feel like they aren't being as inclusive as they could be. And that's turned out to be really fruitful. One in particular has a utility of a physical space. And I now have keys to basically throw events there because I came to a governance meeting and realized all their multi-sig signers knew each other and were like white guys who have a cool project but really aren't making an effort. So I think from that perspective, if you see, you know, an app or dApp or, you know, services, anything that like you think you could help, as a designer, I mean, I've been a designer for 23 years. I don't really do UX and UI, but I know a lot about, you know, a mock-up and what that can get you. So if you see, you know, an opportunity to make improvements, mock it up and call a meeting. You know what I mean? Pitch the idea and maybe don't give them all the secret sauce, but I think it's just there's a lack of consideration and understanding of the true need. And I think as experts in that field, you have, you know, all of the capacity to explain to people what they're missing and what they could be doing, particularly when it comes to, you know, user experience and how people actually use these tools. Because again, I think the people who are building this space first happen to just be folks who reside in Terminal and they don't have much thought about what front end should look like or operate like. That's generally somebody that gets brought in, and these teams tend to be really small when they start because, you know, it's a DAO and it's not necessarily a business that is VC funded and is coming from like a traditional tech point of view, right? So yeah, just that thought. And then also with regard to the accessibility point, I actually am planning to do a pledge to quite a few of the services and DAOs and dApps that don't make consideration for people who use assisted tools. As somebody who's like a big diversity and inclusion advocate, I feel like there's no point in onboarding people who use these tools into this ecosystem when they can't navigate it. And I think that that also needs to be a part of the user experience conversation. So, you know, hopefully we can talk more about what that looks like and encourage folks to do the work to upgrade their standards to be able to accommodate people who, you know, would otherwise not have a way to navigate or participate in the space. That's it.
100%. I love that. Accessibility. So huge, even as a dev. Like, for the first time, somebody mentioned it on my web dev Discord, and I was like, my goodness, like, no one is teaching even devs that accessibility. Let's go to Don BTC and then we go to Devlin.
Yo, what's up, everybody? So I'm not a UI UX designer or anything. I'm a back-end dev, smart contract dev. So I really just, you know, I understand like UI and UX stuff, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I understand it enough to speak to it. I can't, like, you know, talk about like too many design techniques and stuff. But what I will say, I know, like, I'm going to speak from a user standpoint. When I come to like a DApps landing page and I see, you know, a bunch of jargon and, you know, like it completely dissuades me from using, you know, whatever the app or the tool is. So, like, honestly, I would say, like, let's try to like bridge the gap, you know, and like be a little bit more concise. Like, I understand, like, you know, using these tools, you kind of do have to be cognizant of like how the infrastructure and architecture, like these, you know, like, you just gotta be cognizant of the infrastructure, like, you know, and just like how blockchain works and like these tools, like what a wallet is and stuff like that. But I feel like there's ways to do that without being, you know, while using so much jargon, like, you know, I don't know. This is something I've been seeing a lot. I feel like bridging the gap for people, you know, like using analogies, metaphors, stuff like that, you know, to help people really understand like exactly like, you know, what they're interacting with, but like in a very indirect way, you know. But yeah, you know, also I'm not saying like, you know, don't give people a black box experience, like be transparent, you know, be clear about security, you know, and be clear about everything that's going on. You know, I feel like, you know, we shouldn't leave out any context per se, but like, you know, just kind of layer it, you know. Actually, you know, I don't necessarily like, you know, DM or like Lever's approach to like stuff, but I remember like going to their webpage specifically and like just looking and seeing how like they had it layered to like, you know, if the first page was kind of tailored to anybody who wasn't, you know, in the space, you know, we can call those Web 2 familiar people, you know. And even now, like with Web 2, I feel like people, you know, like you don't understand like how this, you can excuse my language, but like you don't understand how this shit works, but like you know that it works, you know what I mean? You kind of got a basic understanding. Like, people don't get like like Git and set requests and stuff like that, you know, but they use the tech. So, you know, I feel like we should just be a little less, I don't know, like use a lot less legalese and like make this more English for people. I guess that's on the more the UX side. I guess the UI side, like, you know, I say like less is probably better, depending on how much you can limit, you know. I don't think like people should see a whole bunch of shit in front of their face and like get confused. Like, you know, it's already like the finality and immutability of a blockchain, you know, that kind of scares the shit out of, you know, even people who are like intellectuals in Web 2 or like devs in Web 2, anybody. Like, you know, when I think about like the finality of like, shit, I might connect my wallet to this site and I might lose all my shit, or like I might you feel me? Like, it's just wild. So like, I feel like we should, you know, make sure that we being transparent, use less legalese, and to make this digestible for the normal person. And that's really all I gotta say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks for coming up and sharing with us, man. Yo, I'm getting into Solidity. I kind of got started a little bit ago. I want to talk to you, Don BTC, because I heard you say you were back-end into that. So I really want to connect with you and kind of know how to get, you know, get better at that, get into
that. Yeah, no doubt. Solidity, JavaScript, Node. Let's talk, bro.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you for coming up, man. Let's go to my favorite junior dev, Devlin. What's popping, my boy?
What's up, Han? Thanks for hosting this space, and same to you, Ilhan and Arius, and thanks everyone for speaking and everything. I've learned so much from all you guys. especially, you know, I want to point in specifically, but Elizabeth, that was a lot of insight you gave. That was incredible. Anyway, to get to it, I want to start off by saying, you know, I'm a front end dev. I did spend 6 months on this Google course. They had a certificate for UX design. So I know a little bit what I'm talking about, but, you know, I'm punching above my weight here. I'm no expert. Just want to get that out of the way. But so anyway, a few things have really interested me about these conversations. It's gone a lot of different ways, from the, you know, gamification of UIs and things. Pon, you were asking, like, how come with games there's not this problem of people getting confused? And I think that's there's a lot of different things going into that. First off, I think a lot of players do get confused. A lot of players get confused. But before the game gets released, there's, and I think a lot of other people have touched on this as well, there's so much user testing in video games. And I'm no video game designer, or developer. I just love video games. I've been a lifelong gamer of, you know, sort of studied game design. So I know a little bit about the industry. But they do tons of user testing beforehand, and tons of tweaking. And even after the fact, people, I think someone else mentioned this, I forget who, but people that purchase games and play them, they go into it with certain assumptions and expectations. We've played so many games, a lot of us, we know what to expect when we go into it. And, you know, if you've ever showed someone a game for the first time, for example, I've been showing my girlfriend games over the last year or so. A lot of assumptions I have going into a game, she has no idea. And a lot of things for me that I take for granted that I expect to be obvious are not obvious for her. And it's, you know, nothing because of her intelligence, it's because of assumptions we have as gamers. So when you're talking about people spending $60 on a game and having this very complex, beautiful UI versus a free website, or someone else was saying, you know, they go to pay their bills, they don't necessarily want all this engagement. They don't necessarily want all this buttons here and crazy theme. You know, simple is sometimes better. I think that there is a lot to unpack there. Not that you can't have gamified UIs. Like, I think Robinhood, the investment platform app website, has done almost too good of a job gamifying their UI, where they've gotten, in trouble for it almost, because investors almost don't realize this isn't a game. This is real money. I don't know. There's a lot to go into here. I think that there's Google as well. I talked about how I did their certificate. They have this initiative that they're doing. I think it's called, I forget exactly, but like preparing for the next billion users of the internet. And the whole thing is the saying, you know, we've all of us that have been using the internet our whole lives, it's the same thing as gamers. We have these assumptions of how a website works, of how a UI should look, what a home icon looks like, what a search icon looks like. But there's new people being brought onto the internet every single day. And a lot of those assumptions need to be left at the door so that new things can be created. And, just people that don't have these assumptions can grow into this ecosystem. And I think Web3 is a great platform for onboarding these people. Going back to gamification, one thing that games do is they have tutorials. Even for UI, a lot of games have tutorials to show you, hey, you go here to do this, you go here to do that. You know, you go to Facebook or something, Twitter, for me personally, was a little daunting. It's confusing. There's a lot going on as someone who's new to Twitter. I'm figuring it out every single day. I wasn't given a tutorial on what a retweet is versus a quote tweet versus all this stuff. So it's a learning experience for me too. If you want to get into complex UIs, Twitter is not even that complicated, but there's tutorials and testing that can be done to make it the onboarding experience better and to make, yeah. So there's a lot that goes into this. It's a very interesting subject. I've learned a lot from everybody, and I guess, you know, that's it for now. Thank you for having me.
I love that, Devlin. I love how you broke it all down, and that's just really true. But just to kind of clarify, when I use gamification as an example, right? Not that I'm saying we should gamify everything, just to kind of clear that up for everybody, because, you know, when we harp on that, remember, like, if you look up top, there's many things I mentioned, right? Like environment art, adopting that into design is something we should think about. Theming, hand-drawn art, these are things we could explore. And like the points you made, when people come in and they see there's like already a status quo, that's, to Elizabeth's point, it's engineering driven, right? It's not driven by designers, it's driven by engineers. So it's a certain way and everybody's scared. Like y'all would say it, right? I'm scared to push the boundaries of this because the front end engineer is going to come up and say, man, this is some bullshit, man. I can't do this, you know? Because like, you're like, man, no. Like, dude, we're about to run React into the floor if we try to implement this thing that this person has brought up, right? And that's a problem because it's, I mean, to me, like, I'm an engineer, man. Challenge me. Like, that's how I see it, you know? So whoever you're dealing with, I don't know, man. I don't want to shit on anybody. All I'm going to say is if you come up with something crazy, right, and I feel like it could be implemented efficiently, it might be complex, but if the user experience, like, is going to be amazing, I believe in it, like, honestly. I don't care what it's like as long as it's something that just breaks the norm and disrupts, you know, this limitation we currently have. I think it's going to be amazing. Manny, what's up?
Yeah, I wanted to just touch on, you know, the main point we're trying to drive home, which is creating opportunities for designers in this space. As a shift, the shift is we're going into Web3, right? And like Elizabeth said earlier, we need to, you know, how would I put it? You know, kind of take our hands off the pedestal and just let ourselves learn new things and unlearn the previous states and status quos that have been set by previous standards, right? We need to do that. And then maybe with that, we can create opportunities. Like right now, we've mentioned several roles and I've been taking note of them. Like you can be a character designer. You can be a social designer. You can be an environment designer. You can be a story designer as a UX writer. You can write for, like, you can be a community designer. You can be a usability designer, accessibility designers. Like, those are, I think we need to start, like, thinking that way that we can now shift in Web3, right? That we can specialize and make design, like she said, like Elizabeth said, digestible, right? Everyone comes and you see interaction design. Interaction design is a huge thing. It's very large, and no one person can understand all of that, right? So we need to start getting people who have passions for maybe writing stories, right? Building communities, like, so they can become community designers. They can become who have passion for making things accessible. They can become accessibility. So they can start focusing on that areas, and it's still design, right? I feel like UX is an unencompassing term. And we need to, like I said earlier, widen our horizons and our views about UX, right? That it's way, way more than just UX, right? UX can be in different forms. As a developer, you could be a UXer as a developer, right? So and people don't understand that, and that's what we're trying to get across, right? There are different possibilities, and Web3 is one way we can start, you know, showing those possibilities, showing evidence for people to start hiring designers in different aspects, right? As like I mentioned earlier, as one thing I believe in praxis, I keep saying that, is that when design doesn't thrive in isolation, and when we start having people who are thinking solely as their social designers, solely as a story, we can now come together and collaborate to form a cohesive experience for our users. Yeah.
Amen, amen.
Man, I have questions. Concept from they're dope, man.
Yeah, Manny, man. Manny, like, the first time I was ever with Manny in a space, he pissed me off because he kept requesting. And, like, then I let him speak, and he's like, I'm like, this dude's amazing, man. Like, he just knows so much.
Shout out to Manny.
Shout out to everybody in the trenches. Feel free to come up if you have any points or disagreements or ideas. Please come up and share with us. My spaces are open mics. After my lawsuit against Twitter's backend developers, I think we'll be able to get us some more spots in the speaker.
I have like 50 50 lawsuits against Twitter, you know? They keep paying me my settlement. So I've been signing NDAs, y'all. That's why you haven't hearing anything from me, you know? We're out here swimming in ETH. Just kidding. Maybe somebody wants to hack me.
What's up?
Man, I don't get it, man. Don't you keep quiet?
Is it what happened?
I said, don't, can't she just keep quiet for a second? Grown-ups are talking.
Oh, Johan?
Yeah, grown-ups are talking here.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness, Aries. Wow. Let me block you real quick. Give me a sec. You know, Aries has another product design type space plant. He didn't even talk about that.
Please don't talk about it.
Oh, we're not doing it. I would literally eviscerate him. I would destroy the very...
Oh, no, no. He's been planning it for a while. Don't worry, Pawn. Do not be jelly.
Johan, you don't understand. You do not understand. This dude is going to... He DM'd me, right? He says, hey, do you know any senior product designers? I'm like, of course, man. I have a huge network. He then proceeds to announce this space without me, who's a designer, as part of the speech.
Wait, Pawn. Do you consider yourself a designer? I mean, yeah, I don't know if I consider you a designer.
Okay, I'm sorry, right?
The entire game design. Check my media.
I said, I'm sorry. Pawn, you didn't follow me back. You never followed me back.
Bro, I don't even
why is Aries so... You forgive me for product design, y'all. UX, UX, UI, UX. Is that even a real job? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I support the UX, UI. Shout out to cybersecurity.
Bro, you never followed me. How do you want me to do you favors and bring you up on...
It's not a favor, bro. If I'm there, I'm doing you. Matter of fact, you just tried me again.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. Whatever. I didn't consider you as a designer.
Bro,
I'm going to put you in the front end one, but you said, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Bro, I'm a full stack and I've designed a whole video game.
This is not a flex room. Oh my goodness. This is not a space where we're flexing. Guys, be humble. People came here to learn. And all they hear is the host saying, I know this, I know that. Damn. Some of us are neurosurgeons in the weekends. Do you see me like bragging about that?
I know, right? You, Johan? I know. We neurosurgeons. We neurosurgeons.
Shout out to all the surgeons out there.
Ilhan, do you still consider yourself as a surgeon?
You know what I'm saying?
I thought you were a cybersecurity advocate.
I am. I went to school for neurosurgery, so all my friends, their headaches went away. We've been out here cutting people open, frontal lobes are fixed. Let me stop before I get sued.
No. Check this out.
Lobectomy this week?
Oh my god. Yo, Eric had something to say. Eric, what's going on? Sorry for the segue.
Sorry about that, Eric. we kind of derailed. Okay, continue.
No, sorry, guys. I was just finishing up my my food. So I don't want to steer away from the conversation because you guys are making really good points on design for Web 3. But I had a question the last space that you guys did about just trying to bring the conversation of, staking pools and all of those UIs. They're really, it's a complex topic to understand. So I wanted to ask you guys, since you're designers in the space, what are some of the things that you were thinking about when you look at these UIs and what are the improvements that you guys think would, you know, make people learn these things better, you know, staking pools and all that.
Wayfinders for one.
Oh my God, wish you were in our, Eric, I wish you were there. Every Sunday we do our crypto, you know, NFT, Web3 talks. Like Twitter space, and we have like degens in there, just like that would go on and on with you right now. Dang it, but you came to the tech nerd space. What are you doing here?
Well, I'm into tech.
Welcome.
I have a little bit of an answer for that, Eric, if I might.
For sure.
I think some of those questions that I was proposing, Do you remember like the first time you set up your wallet to do anything like a crypto transaction?
Yes. It was hideous. I didn't know what
right.
I was doing.
How many YouTube videos did you have to watch to figure it out?
Oh, I bugged a lot of friends.
There you go, right? So, you know, just if you ever watch someone else do that, or you even just write down all of those questions that you had to ask your friends and compile them, give that to a UX designer, and that's exactly what they need to figure it out. Because you were just like, I don't know if I'm doing this right. I have no idea if this transaction is going to go through. Am I going to lose all my money? I need to look up this term. What's the difference between, you know, a staking pool and like leveraging or borrowing? Or it's just all of those kinds of questions. And that's where I think UX writing can be so useful, and like micro interactions, because if you had a little tooltip or a good onboarding, like I forget who was just saying in gaming, right? There's always like a tutorial. There's always a good onboarding process. That is the start, because you can always address those things before someone even has the question come up. And once you know the right questions to ask, you can address them. So yeah, those same exact questions you asked when you were trying to figure it out, it's the exact problem we're all going to have every time we try to do it. So that's our job, is to anticipate that context and questions as designers. Thanks. I hope that's somewhat helpful.
It is. I was like, at first, I was hoping for a very specific and objective answer, and then you instead told me how to think, and that's, I really appreciate that.
That's great.
Just to add to that, you know, as we solve how we go through this, spaces in the Web3 industry. How we solve the problems we face individually, I think we need to start documenting them, our experiences on those in the applications or whatever, right, that we use. We need to start documenting them and individually, right, and sharing it. That's one way we can help ourselves to enable understanding and usability.
That's a good point. Because the answers to those questions are what become design principles.
Exactly.
Share.
Exactly.
Lulu, it's up here, man.
Real quick, I want to say something to y'all. Everybody who's in here, if you're like a junior UI UX and you're looking to get into open source, hit me up. Myself and Roy Boy, I don't know if y'all know him, senior engineer at Disney. We're building out a couple platforms. And we'd have left to give some UX designers a whole lot of coverage, especially like UX writers and people who actually like do the designs. And these designs will be put in front of a whole lot of firms. So if you're designing for the UI component library, you're going to have a shit ton of coverage, because firms are already reaching out wanting to be a part of these projects. So I just wanted to put that out there. But let's go to Web3 Lady before Lolo.
Pawn, I forgot. I spoke to three like junior designers, and they said they wanted to be on board on it. Do you want me to link you all in a group or some shit like that? Because DMing in these days, man, is hard, bro. you don't reply to people.
Bro, it's my mental health, man. I check my DMs on Saturdays, bro. My mental health. I'm too. It's too many, man. Come on.
Oh my god! We did the text space or something, and I'm not kidding you. We had like over 100, 200 maybe DM, and I'm an idiot. I'm sitting there literally replying to everyone, because I'm thinking if I don't, that they're gonna think I'm fake as f. Because in the space, I was promising to reply to them, so I like literally my thumb started hurting, and I was like, wait, is this normal? And then I see everybody say, I won't reply until a week later, and I'm like, this is so smart.
That's what
Ilhan,
every time we run spaces, I get like 300 DMs. I'm telling you, I'm not responding until Saturday. You're not seeing me.
I swear to God, I learned my lesson, because now I try to take my time, but my gosh, it's not easy.
I think, Ilhan, I think we was in a space where we were talking about, if you want to DM, then don't say hi. And that second, literally like 50 people were saying hi in my DMs. I was like, what is wrong with you?
Yo, that is bad, buddy. Web3 lady was popping.
Yeah, that's just so funny. Sorry, guys, I can't just stop laughing. I think I was going to add something to that conversation that, you know, what Elizabeth said, really cool stuff, and I 100% agree with that, right? I think first thing first, it starts with our experience, and it goes to even speak for product designers, right? When you come into the Web3 space, the first thing is not just to, you know, just start designing, just jump into design, you know. It's good to use this product, use a lot of products, and feel the pain point for yourself, like feel the pain that users are feeling yourself, right? With that, you're even able to design, you know, very useful interfaces, because when you feel the pain, and with that anger, right? A couple of times I feel like I could design, honestly. Sometimes I feel like I could design, because I mean, it just is anger, like why is it like this and all of that. But just personal experiences, right? I mean, things around just even adding tips and guides to sort of like the platforms would really help. Because I mean, I remember when I started off and I was trying to use, Binance, Uniswap, I think, and some other platforms I was just trying to use and play around with it, right? I mean, the first thing was that, I mean, that question, what am I investing in? What does this even mean? And all of those stuff. And those answers are not on the dab, right? You don't see them there. You don't see tips and guides, right? To even guide you through all that, all the different experiences. And something common with, you know, most fintech applications that I've used, right? You see there are always like guides and tips at every point for every action. For every feature you open, any action you take, there's always like this tips, this guide, right, guiding you. And you can just read in that, right, in the app, you can read about it and then just, okay, this is what it means. And I can make a decision, right? So most times users need a lot of information to be able to make decisive, informative decision, right, when they're on the platform. And that's one thing that you don't get really on most of this dApp. You need to go and read the white paper. And I don't even know who came up with that idea that, you know, for every dApp, the white paper should explain everything and then the dApp is there, right? Even one thing that I've noticed that most of these dApp platforms don't do, they don't put more information about the risks. You don't even know what the risks are involved. For instance, something like, liquidity providing and yield farming. You don't even know most, or even borrow and lend. You don't even know that. You know, most times you don't even know that when the value of your collateral falls down beyond the limit, right? It gets your collateral gets liquidated, right? You don't even know that. You don't even get alerts most times when those things happen and all of those stuff. So those are like important like user experience that, you know, could be added for like users. And even in the point of onboarding, like Elizabeth states about connecting your wallet, right? I mean, connecting your wallet, what's wallet and how do I connect one? If I don't have a wallet, how do I download one? Which wallet do I install? You know, those kind of questions are even very important for like newbies or new users that come into the platform and trying to do it for the first time. And to be honest, when we say new users, right, we then, even when you're designing for new users, right, you even have to decide what level of new users, because there are users that are in the blockchain space and they're crypto users. All they do is crypto, right? They don't have any idea of DeFi or NFT or all of these platforms, right? So there's that kind of an experience for those people. There's an experience for those ones that are in crypto and already used to non-custodial wallets, right? Non-custodial wallets where you can manage your private keys. And that's most of the wallets that most dApp use, right? I mean, the users that understand that. And the users are in crypto and all they know how to use is custodial wallets where the private keys are being managed for them, right? So there are different user experiences that you need to like put into play. And that's where, you know, understanding the user comes into play, understanding the product and the UI you're trying to sell comes into play. That's where a lot of research using a lot of platform comes into play. So I think that as a product designer, right, I think being a product designer is a very intelligent role. It's a master role. If I should say, right, it's a master role where you need to immerse yourself. So immerse and then create sort of like. So I think that's one thing I just want to add to, you know, what Elizabeth also said.
I mean, great point. Web3 lady, what used to struck me about you is that you're not even a designer. You're a developer, man. You're awesome. You're like knowledgeable, and you know that, like, I always love to see ladies in tech who are always like that knowledgeable and broad. It always like blows my mind away. Like, I hate like
I'm sorry, guys, but I hate seeing like men always like, because we are already expected to know all these things. I think Lulu wants to speak. Lulu, can you go ahead?
Yes. Hey, everybody. Love the conversation, kind of just jumping in, and I just heard something that just fits with what I do. So I do user experience research in human-centered design thinking for financial tech and for like web app design. And relating back to Eric's question, I think a huge gap that can be filled in this space is the UX research side of things, like really building out those journey maps and experience maps of what someone's going through as they enter the space and also with their goals as they exit the space. Exit plans are huge in tech overall. So even mapping those out and what that looks like, especially when we're so early. The beginning of Web 2, most of those businesses were acquired and sold off. So just something to also keep in mind. And then also, this was like touched on by Web 3 lady and some others too, is thinking about the different personas. So these are a lot of different groups. So like Ilhan said, there's a lot of degens who are in the space who know it, who have their own insight on it. But then there's a lot of normies and newbies who are always coming in and need to learn things as well. And then there's even this older crowd that's emerging of people who have a lot of money and ways to invest, but they just don't know what's going on overall in tech. So just being mindful of like all these different nuggets and like how they have their own empathy map. So they have their own experiences that they're going through and that they're struggling with and goals that they have. And even understanding the service blueprint. So that's something that I've really been working on trying to figure out is like, what is the bare bones of everything? You know, what do people actually need to learn and need to know to understand what they're doing versus the things that will fall into the background? Like even now, you know, you don't, like they say with MySpace, when MySpace first came out, we all knew how to do everything, but then you get Facebook, which is a bare bone version and everyone's still happy. You know, so really just observing. If you have friends who are getting into it, ask if you can like follow them as they're doing it, you know, have them pop up questions, write those questions down, and then you can kind of start to see those patterns build over time. And also paying attention to what these bigger businesses are doing in the industry. So not just MetaMask, but think about Census. So Census owns MetaMask. Look at what they're doing. You know, look at the way that they've been doing this for a long time. And to learn from other people, don't reinvent the wheel all the time either. So see what's going on, see how they've, like the beginning of Uniswap and how all these things got started, like MakerDAO, how that situation got started and is still going on. Just doing the research on things that are already happening. If you can pair up with the researcher or just even look up how to do empathy maps, service design maps, and stuff like that, and just start mapping it out, like literally writing it down, start putting post-its up on your wall, like figure out what's going on and then start to piece it together with others and come back into spaces like this and say, hey, this is what I'm seeing. Are you seeing the pattern as well? You know, and that's even how you can start getting some analytical data. So like right now, if I said, hey, I'm seeing this pattern, everyone who's seeing it, can you throw up 100? You know, and then it's like, dang, okay, so you guys are all seeing this too. Now we know it's something we can dig into, you know. So just some options that I'm starting to see emerge and, yeah, looking to help people see them too.
Fantastic coverage. Man, I love when people just come in and preach. I mean, I don't usually miss church, but you're making me feel like I went twice. But, thanks for sharing.
I appreciate it, you know, but I've been dipping and dabbing in the space for like the last year or so over and just really seeing how it can relate to some things that I do. And like, it's great to have this UX UI space. It's hard as a researcher to come in because everyone assumes you do design. And it's like, I don't actually do that part. I'm just like someone who enables that to exceed and really build that empathy. So.
Absolutely not. And being an advocate, like we mentioned earlier, is like one of the solutions that we've proposed for this space moving forward. It's like we said, people don't really understand the process of design or the user experience, and there's a huge shortage. There's like a bunch of people getting into design who don't have proper design education. Then there's a bunch of people who are just using surface designs to implement the web and not considering the need for actual proper educated product designers. And then there's a bunch of people, which is like the whole internet, that's stuck in one particular kind of design and not choosing to deviate or explore possibilities, anything else. And that's where I have a problem, you know? So, and to put that out there, I'm not web design, like in terms of like, I haven't done UI UX for web, but I've done it for games, which is why I can host spaces like this. You can check my media and you'd see stuff I've done for game environments. I'm obsessed with environment design and art. And I want us to bring things like that, because I know in that game space, man, we never got it wrong with UI. It was, the experience is always flawless, right? And any gamer would tell you that. But I want us to have the same thing for the web. X-Sauce, you're the new person in here. What's going on?
Not much, man. How y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good.
Good. Glad to hear it. So, one of my Solidity developers, and he's his own man, so I don't mean to like claim rights or nothing, but Don BTC, who got on here earlier, he's actually helping flesh out our project. He's amazing at what he's doing. He's got some of his own works as well. But anyways, I kind of wanted to get on here. For one, I was listening in to see if there was any, you know, front-end developers who had a different approach to, you know, design and whatnot. I'm also, you know, kind of headhunting, looking for a front-end developer as well. But I guess not to shill my project too much. It's a combination between Web3 or blockchain tech, fashion and e-commerce, in synthetics. And for those of you who aren't familiar with what a synthetic is or a derivative on chain, I have all that information in the docs on my page. You can go over to it's xsauce.io and take a look at it. But yeah, I'm more so was just listening in, wanted to hear. I like the dialogue. I like what you guys are saying. I currently have a product designer, and he's amazing as well. So just kind of listen in for more.
Exhaust, I'm gonna say this real quick. Thanks for coming up. You know, Don offered great perspective, so it's good to know y'all are affiliated. We should definitely talk on that whole front end thing. But I would also say, you have one product designer. If you ever have the capacity to go more than one, please do. All right, because yeah, my people need to be hired. Like, these designers deserve an opportunity to thrive. So if you're building out that platform and you know you have the option of overworking one person or one designer, or picking up two or three, please pick up the extra. Make it a design team, and it'll be worth it for you long term.
100%. So, I mean, it was a beast. What I'm building is a whole e-commerce platform, synthetic exchange, and just a typical Web3 staking, you know, platform or mechanism. So it was, and then also I needed a landing page. I needed to get my white paper redone. Like, we just straight rolled it out on a Google Docs. Like, my brother and I typed it up. Everything from like my documentation is just on a Git book. Like, all this stuff could be stylized and a designer can take hold of that. We just one. I work for Fuse Blockchain, so I do business development and marketing for them. So my day is occupied for the most part doing that, which is kind of hard to source these. I mean, you guys are like hiding in holes out here, man. I'm trying to find y'all, trying to find everyone. It's hard, man.
Man, look, yeah. You know the funniest thing? I had 6 CEOs and founders in my last space coming, and like they in my DMs, like, dude, man, where can I find these devs, man? I'm like, dude, man, we're booked right now.
Yeah.
We're booked heavy right now. But not, and that's what I want for the UI designers too, which is why I'm saying, let's create a shift. Let's do something different, man. I'm tired of the same old designs out here.
Let's go. Oh, I was going to say one last thing. I really too, like, and that was one of my constraints is, you hit it on the head. You can't really deviate too much because the user doesn't know the new flow or new experience you're trying to take them on, which is really makes it really difficult for you to kind of get abstract. My whole concept, no one has done what I'm doing right now in the Web3 space, not even close. And that's hard for people to say. Like, there's not even a mimic out doing what I'm trying to do. So that's in itself is really hard. How do you explain this to an everyday person? What is a synthetic anyway? Like, how do I take you on that experience, that journey? So anyways, I'll let someone else speak.
Yeah, so, and I think that's the reason why I think you need to get more designers.
More designers.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, who's going to translate that? It's not going to be a front-end developer, trust me.
Exactly.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, yeah. Man, Pawn, he has already even talked to me about it. I'm talking about Sauce. Has already talked to me about it, and I was like, oh, hey, I think it would be better if he comes up and, you know, explains his stuff or his side of the story. But yeah, I was even like, when I got the amount of people I'm getting or the amount of founders that in my DM, like, we're looking for developers, I'm like, did I just made a mistake of, like, switching my, you know, my career to design? Shouldn't have stick to development, but I have no regrets anyways. I think there's still space for designers.
Exactly.
Bro, you should. Yeah, Pawn, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Finish up.
Now, I'm saying that, like, look, bro, like, no matter how much you love development, we still have our jobs, man.
No, facts. Like, nobody is. I don't, like, advocate for anybody to switch their careers. Well, obviously, I advocate for everybody to learn JavaScript, but, you know, I'm not out here telling everybody to quit what they're doing. I'm just trying to advocate for more inclusion, for more opportunities across the industry. We can't move forward and leave our designers behind.
I didn't say, like, you're not advocating for, like, more designers. I mean, that's the purpose of this space, right? Is to, like, show that, it's even, like, explain to other designers that, hey, look, you're worth more. I'm just like saying it in a sarcastic way, not that I'm really serious, because I feel like a lot of people might take it like in the wrong way and thinking like, hey, you're trying to not do the right thing. But what you're trying to do literally is just say, hey, you designers, like, there's a lot of opportunity for you, and your work or what you do should be valued than it is right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for clearing that up. Let's go back to Eric, and then let's go to Tony Bravado. Eric, what's popping?
Okay, just to your guys' point, how should one approach hiring new designers? Should they go for like one UX, one UI, one researcher? That's, I think, one thing that a lot of entrepreneurs might struggle with when they're building new products or projects. What are some good tips for people building design teams?
That's a good question. Elizabeth, you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. I would say that one way is to really understand the problem space, the solution that you're trying to create, and then hopefully look for designers that have experience in that problem space. You're probably going to be looking at a lot of Web 2 designers right now, because there aren't a ton of them that are going to have Web 3 portfolio projects for you to, you know, gauge whether or not they're a good fit. But if you have the chance to seek out designers that are like in fintech, if you're doing something in, you know, like wallets or those similar experiences, that's a good place to start. But yeah, being really clear on the niche of the designer can be very helpful, because some of those problems are going to be the same. And I loved what Lola was saying. And really, I think the whole core of her message was empathy building, right? That's going to be the most important thing. So anyone that understands the struggles that are happening in that space, and I think just one way to kind of find out if a designer is good for that space is just to ask them what their experience has been in it. Like, for example, I don't know very many designers, and I have so many students and so many colleagues that I've been working with for 15 years now that are not into crypto at all. They've never set up a wallet. They don't know even the basics of blockchain technology or any of these things. And so that's just a place to start, have they even had adjacent experience with that? But in terms of building out your teams, yeah, I think it's a kind of a challenge right now to start there, but I think there'll be an education piece for the engineers that are hiring to have the bandwidth set aside to kind of teach them and collaborate with them as they come on. Don't maybe expect them to understand how everything works right from the start, but being able to co-create with them is going to be a big way to do some of the things that I was talking about earlier, where we're just coming in at this from the ground floor together, you know, influencing it together and shaping it together. That's going to be really important because it's just going to make, you know, the technology and the experience that much tighter. And, you know, people like Lola who are in the user research space, they're, I think, actually going to be the catalyst for this because they're going to really be able to understand it from that user perspective and bring that user-centered approach to it. So even if they aren't currently in the Web3 space, I think you can really lean into those UX writers and UX researchers in the early stages. And if you really do want to create a user-centered Web3 product or a dApp, that's the way to go, right? It's not so much about you know, the UI first or the visuals first. I think it's really understanding that core experience, those user journeys, the user stories, the jobs to be done, and then the business requirements, like what is it that you're trying to build for what reason, you know, and how is the company going to structure itself and run itself? Because these are all mistakes we've made over and over and over again in Web 2. So hopefully if we do it together this time, we won't maybe make some of those same mistakes. So hopefully that's kind of helpful.
Yeah, 100%. If we do it together, hopefully we do it right. I think, was the question helpful? I don't know.
I have some thoughts on that too.
Go ahead, Luda.
Yeah, I think it would be really good, of course, have a researcher to really just kind of get the understanding of what's going on. Another thing, I would look out for some of the changes that have really come along in the Web2 space and how they develop the teams. So like getting that agile scrum master or someone that can really kind of get the time laid out and then do iterations. So if you're able to do iterations, you'll be able to keep up with the change that's happening or even get in front of it. That would be something I would think about. And then also even like a producer, someone that can actually keep their pulse on everything that's happening and manage people's time so there's no burnout. And then you can also see where you can hire more designers or more developers or how you're going to expand the process. And then I don't have that much experience with the gaming side, but as that's been such a part of a lot of people's strategies, I would highly recommend, at least as an advisor, to have that involved, even just for like the gamifying or the tokenomics side of things. It would make a lot of sense. And then, yeah, if you can get someone in financial tech, it's just the options just too there not to, just to see how things are broken up and how you can lay out really using wallets and utilizing them in the best way for what you're offering.
100% agree with you, Lulu. I think, you know, like Elizabeth also said some amazing, like, I feel like y'all are just making me look dumb. Like, I don't know, like, I'm just so dumb, but it's incredible to see y'all contribute and all that. Tyler.
How's everybody doing today? I just decided to join and see what everyone was talking about. But I just had a little quick question. As someone who isn't typically interested in crypto and the whole and like that whole like space, do you have to be interested in that type of stuff to actually get into Web3? Since I am a complete noob when it comes to Web3. Like, I have not researched a lot about this space. No pun intended.
I thought someone wanted to answer a question, but you don't need to actually. But I feel like in every product, you have to have a good understanding on whatever you're trying to play around with. Even if you're a gamer, you have to have all like, let's say, for example, you want to play Mortal Kombat, for example, you have to have a sense of interest in that thing. You don't necessarily need to understand it, but having an interest in what it is, I feel like it gives a little bit more push. But I think Lulu has probably a better contribution to what, or a better answer to the question.
No, that answer was great. I definitely agree. Like, you don't have to be completely into crypto, but I would definitely get to understand how the smart contracts run and what they're doing. So for me, I look at it because I'm really interested in the service automation around it and how you can automate financial deposits, how you can get interest, how you can do a lot of things. It just depends what you're looking at and what it can do. But the whole point is that it can do everything the internet can do, period. So if you're into the internet and taking it to a new like frontier, or just kind of really adding more proprietary aspects, I guess. I don't know. Someone else might be able to get to that more, but there's a lot of other options. But understanding how it's moving, why it's moving, and how this is really testing out these different theories and seeing that they're actually working and transferring money and transferring contracts and connecting people's wallets and understanding that whole process, then you can see where there's other opportunity for innovation. And then that gets back to the research side. So you can see where other things can fit, because there's like home ownership, like people renting cars, there's a lot of things moving. So I'll just be aware of how it's moving, why it's moving, and then trying to see what could happen next to make people's lives easier. That's the whole point of innovation, making people's lives simple and easy. So if you're into doing that, then you're good.
Got it. Well, thank you for that. I definitely do appreciate the words. Yeah, I would definitely keep that in mind and try to dedicate some time into learning more about things in the whole crypto space, because, yeah, I definitely do think it's pretty cool. I just haven't found the time to do my research in it yet. So thank you for that.
I feel like if you could be able to identify what your interest is on the Web 2 or like in real life, like, hey, what do I even like to do? If it is gaming, man, there are Web 3 gamings, there are all these, you know, crypto gamings and all that. If it is, you know, I don't know, car rentals, or I've seen a project of similar to Airbnb with the Web 3 space. So there's just a lot of this project. They might not have get it right now, which might be an opportunity, since you have the interest on Web 2, you could be able to have a better opportunity or a better idea on how you could expand or how you could build a better system for the Web 3. You just find your normal interest and then channel your research towards it within Web 3. I feel like you'll be able to do better than just finding a random interest and saying, hey, I just want to work on this like that. I feel like that's just my own last contribution.
Sounds good. Thank you for that.
Sure. So I want to reset the room right now. I think people are requesting it. You know, there's no one up here. Anyone want to contribute or say something?
Oh, yeah. I just want to tell everyone, everyone's diverse. And
Tony kind of broke up for me. I don't know if it's just me, though.
Yeah, he's breaking up right now.
Yeah, it's a rag. Can you hear me? Can't hear him. Can't hear Tony, no.
Oh, you can hear me?
Now I can.
Yes, I can hear you. I know.
All right. So, sorry about that. That was bad Wi-Fi. No, I just want to say everyone's great in this group. Just everyone's smart, very smarter than me. But I just want to know, what are things going on that developers are seeing problems in developing Web 3? Like, what problems are you guys are seeing or you guys are facing?
Pawn is not available right now. I think he's the only developer on the space. Oh, Devin. Devlin, I think that's your name. I'm sorry. Can you be able to answer this question?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was doing something else. I'm coding right now. Can you repeat the question real quick? I might not be able to answer because I'm not currently a part of a team. I'm looking, so I think it was focused on hiring and getting a team together, right?
No, that wasn't the question. The question was
Oh, go ahead. My bad. I thought you wanted me to repeat it.
you can repeat it. I mean, it's a question anyways.
Oh, yes. Yeah. What problems are Web3 developers are facing right now?
Oh, well, I'm not sure I'm really suited to answer that either, since I'm, you know, a front end dev in Web 2. But I mean, what problems are there? I'm sure that there's different problems between Web 3 and Web 2. So I don't think I can answer this very clearly if someone else in the audience is a Web 3 developer. But I think the biggest thing, just from the outside looking in, would be learning the technology. I mean, Solidity is very new, and I know that the tech is evolving every day. As Pawn was saying earlier, there's no senior devs in the space to mentor these juniors coming in. So it's really on the juniors to take the initiative upon themselves and learn the tech. There's no one that's going to be like, oh, you have to do this here, that, there. It's, you know, you got to figure it out. And it takes a lot of motivation to teach yourself and a lot of determination. It's, so you know, yeah, it's going to be one of the... Go ahead.
do you think like STEM classes and a lot of these like, you know, ERG, you know, a lot of technology and computer engineering classes, or do people who are entering this place have to understand exactly what the education of the space is first before they can adapt to building a Web3 format?
I'm not sure what an ERG is. Can you tell me what that is real quick?
Black engineers is like Society of Engineers. And they basically like the Black ERG. I don't know if you ever heard of them, but there are a lot of Black ERG people out there, and you know, students out there also who are coders and developers of Web3. So it's good to have the education with them before they try to, you know, get into corporate America. But there's also other avenues that they can go ahead and go along with this, you know, the Web3 technology and stuff like that. You think they need to be more educated on what Web3 is and having a community that can basically support each other on that avenue?
Yeah, I think it's definitely important to understand the technology and the protocols you're building on, because Web3 has a lot of different limitations than Web2. It's not just nothing but pros, it's pros and cons. So in order to develop these Web3 solutions, you need to be able to understand what are the limitations you're working with on Web3. I think we've gone over that a lot, like how it's much slower. So you need to communicate that to the user. Hey, this might take a little bit longer than you're used to, but this is normal for so-and-so, and just really breaking these things down. In order to break these things down to the user, yeah, you need experienced people that understand the underlying technology. Do I think that you need to go to like, and get a degree or anything like that? If that's what you're asking, I don't think so. I think, you know, there's definitely there's opportunity and for success for people that are self-taught. But, you know, you don't have to go to college to be educated on the technology or anything. There's lots of free resources out there. So yes and no. Yes, I think that it requires an understanding of the technology, but no, I don't think it requires a higher education. I think there's lots of resources out there to teach yourself. Does that answer the question, or did I go off track?
No, I mean, you answered the question. I mean, I was just, like I said, it was just, I know a lot of colleges and stuff like that don't really prepare you for real world. And I feel like this is the closest thing to people can do to be their own boss. So I figure like the owner to have your own ownership of your IP with Web3, it's very initially that we can also teach a lot of the young and upcoming coders and developer that education is everything, because if we have an education on how to build, we can build the network the way we see fit.
I love it, man. Yeah, I definitely agree. College is great. I'm not diminishing anything. I've never gone to college, so I can't speak on what you get out of it. There's another space I was in the other day where someone was saying, you know, college is what you get out of it too. A lot of people go to college and they don't get everything. Oh, I can't remember who was speaking. I think it was Mariah. It's a fantastic speaker, but a lot of people go to college and they don't get everything that you can possibly get out of it. They go and they go to party and they cheat on their tests and they cheat on their homework and whatever else to get the grades. And they have a nice certificate at the end of it. But when they're put into the workplace and they're like, hey, you need to do this, there's a lot of self-taught people, I think, that are better prepared to succeed in the work environment than college students. And of course, you know, again, this is me on the outside looking in, but I see a lot of this sentiment sort of, it's not just me saying this, I think. It's you know, experienced people saying this as well. So yeah, I agree with everything you're saying.
I also agree with you know, what you just stated, man. Delvin, I think you're way more knowledgeable than you give yourself credit for.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm just, you know, I understand that it's important that, you know, we always talk about digital collectibles. We all talk about, you know, NFTs can do this and this way, that way. I feel as if we're not really talking about the educational piece and what this can mean for the younger generation, because we're building this whole format, this whole, you know, new Web3, not for us, but for the next generation. It's very important to tell them how they can use this technology to make the world better, to make better nonprofit organizations, to make better infrastructures, to raise money for a lot of projects that we feel need to in our own communities, instead of having to dependent on, you know, the United States government for grants. And I believe in that. I believe that we need to teach our youngest, you know, how to code and how to develop that.
Yeah, I like that. I think it would be so cool to have a centralized source where we start putting together some of these use cases, you know, just compiling these different ideas, because, you know, the entry point right now really is kind of crypto because of these wallet experiences and because of, just tokenomics and this, like, it kind of starting here with, you know, Bitcoin and a lot of those things that we're talking about. But there's a lot of implications for this stuff in many different areas, because there's, you know, there's still healthcare problems that are not being solved very well with, you know, the centralized databases of our health information and stuff like that, that could be much better utilized with blockchain technology. There's stuff for, like Lolo said, with mortgages and homeownership and all this kind of stuff. So there are a lot of use cases that we haven't thought about. There's a lot of artistic things with, you know, music and with art and NFTs and all that kind of stuff. So every space is going to be really different with their problems. But yeah, I think it would be really neat to just have some of these use cases that we start kind of brainstorming.
And you're right. I don't know if y'all ever heard of Guap Coin, but Guap Coin is big right now. And I think that's great for our own community to pass that and have those, you know, e-commerce set up where we spend our own token and own in our own business and our own places, our own, you know, own property, and starting that whole e-commerce where that way Web3 can also, you know, have that new adaptability to have the infrastructure to support it.
Yeah. And I just wanted to touch on that too. I think a big opportunity, and like what I'm telling a lot of my younger cousins and people I meet and stuff, is to really get into the auditing side of it. So understand how to really read these contracts, audit a contract, finding exploits, seeing the logical outcomes that can happen. And that's what's happening to a lot of devs, is that, like with the Fishy Fam thing, you know, they set it up so you can only get 3 in your wallet, but it didn't stop people from getting those 3 out of the wallet and then going back. And now it's reading that there's nothing in your wallet. So it's just knowing how to stop those little exploits that can happen. And like I said, auditing, I think that's a huge opportunity. It's something I'm interested in doing. A lot of places that offer certifications, one is ISACA. I like randomly did a project for them, but one is ISACA. They offer certifications to continue auditing, even for blockchain and stuff like that, but they don't offer auditing services. So, and people who do offer auditing services, it's completely backed up. People have to wait months and months to get their stuff audited. So that's a huge opportunity that I think can be taken advantage of in the best way. And then even setting up those wallets so it automatically pays back out those auditors, those copywriters, people involved with the contracts, and then everyone knows like it's going the right way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What I miss.
Oh, Pawn.
Sorry.
I didn't miss a lot, man. It's all right.
Facts. But I think I'm gonna start rounding down because I have to write some code. So I'm gonna round this down. But this has been amazing, you know. I do actually have another space that I gotta run later on. So I wanna get to some code real quick and then get back on Twitter. But for everyone who's in here, if you've contributed or you gained value, connect with us, reach out to us, follow everybody else that's not me, because if you follow me, I'm gonna ignore you. But no, I'm just kidding. Connect with us, reach out if you want to be a part of anything. Like I said, we have some open source projects we got going on. We'd love to, and they have huge exposure. Myself and Roy are also launching a platform where people can get help, which means if you're saying, hey, I only got a cell phone, I need a laptop to get into tech, get into development, we got you covered. He's going to be handling the financials. I'm just building it out. And that actually gives people an opportunity to be a part of an open source thing, because we want the platform to be built by those people who are either joining in as like needing help, or so you join in, right? You come and say, hey, man, I need this laptop. You get it in and we make sure you get exposure. You get on, we put you in an open source thing and you gain that experience. You get that mentoring directly from the people we have in our server. So that's part of what I got going on with Roy. It's going to be fantastic. But yeah, that and the UI component library. I just want to connect with designers and talk to people who need to be out there. But I'll be rounding down. We got closing statements from everybody. We just want to chop it up for a little bit. I might, if y'all want to keep going, I could just leave my phone and go to my laptop and code, or just leave. Y'all could keep talking if you want to do that. Then 100%. But my plan is to kind of take closing statements.
I just got one more thing to say is also a lot of these infrastructures that already exist, we can build our own infrastructure. You do not have to participate in theirs.
That's all I'm saying, and that's really what I'm trying to say, is we have so many industrious people out there who are being left out because a certain standard has been created and no one is willing to challenge it or disrupt it. And I'm saying
build yourselves, become leaders, come into this tech space and just dominate, man. This stuff is not hard, all right? Like, be out here, position yourself as a leader, take on responsibility, create value, and thrive, succeed. Trust me, it's not difficult. It takes time, but you're going to get overwhelming support. There's gaps in this industry, and we need more people to fill these gaps, right? I don't care if you're a junior or a senior. Take responsibility, take a lead, and you're going to succeed. Let's go to Judy. Judy, what's popping?
Okay. Hello, everyone. How's everybody? Can you hear me, guys? Can you hear my voice?
We can hear you. We can hear you.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Thank you very much. I don't want to take much time from you guys, but I have a question. Since Mr. Pawn referred to software computers, so lately I got a new computer, okay, and my friend told me, Jody, go for UX and UI. But my question here is that I don't have like a tech background, okay? I didn't like study computer science or IT. So do for like learning UX and UI, do you need to have a background in tech in general, or just like go for it?
I'll suggest you just go for it, man. You don't need any background in. I feel like you should understand yourself and see if you're good in the research side or in the UI side. Or if you're good in both, then you go for UI and UX. Because it's not only UI and UX. There's the UI side and there's the UX side, right? So I'll just suggest, like, what do you think you're good at? Are you good at research? Yes, go for UX research, right? Are you good at, like, understanding graphics, like understanding colors and shit like that? Go for UI, man. Or if you feel like you're good at understanding both, then I'll just say go for UI and UX. But it takes a little bit more time. And you know, it doesn't have anything to do with background in tech. It just has to do with consistency. If you're not consistent, man, none of this is going to work. I feel like even me, like up to just like my fifth year in UI design, I've been designing for like 9 years now, I think going to 10. So I still learn things every day. If you're not consistent, how do you want to catch up with yourself? So that's just all I'm going to say, man. But let's go for it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I encourage you to definitely go for it. I mean, there are so many nuanced skills and so many niche positions in this industry now. It is not, one thing. There's so many things that you can do in the space. And check out my YouTube channel. It's Designer Up. I think Pon linked it up above. I talk a lot about this, and you can get a lot of that background if you're just going into that space. There's a lot of blog articles on our blog as well about that kind of stuff. Because these are skills that even if you did learn about UI and UX, they're going to encompass parts of, how we organize information, ontology, user psychology, behavioral things, interactions and stuff like that. And these are things that carry on in every industry, whether you go into marketing, whether you go into project management, these are really universal skills, and a lot of the soft skills, right, of like presentation and communication and all of that stuff, and just how to make things look good and visual design and problem solving, right? It's really how we think and how we problem solve. And I always say that, product design, it's not about those outputs necessarily. It's really how we see the world, how we think through and react to problems, and how we show up to solve them. And so I think that's really what it's all about, and that can be applied to anything. So explore, have fun, watch a couple of lessons, try to create something and see where your interest and your energy takes you, right? And then, because we need a lot more people in this space, and yeah, just don't be afraid to give it a try.
There's your green light. What's his name? I don't see it. Anyways, there's your green light. We're all saying next time we're on this space or any conversation with you, we want to hear about how you got started, right? And you're in it. Just jump in the fire. You'll be all right. Closing statements, anybody else? Devlin, man, I don't know, man. You're a front-end dev. I don't like front-end devs. I'm just kidding. But Elizabeth was fine.
No, this has been a really, really awesome space. And feel free to connect to me if you have questions about this stuff. You know, shoot me a DM. I'll be working on a video soon about the Web3 stuff and UI and UX designers and how to get into that space. So even if I don't respond to you, know that I'm looking and I'm going to hopefully incorporate some of your questions. So yeah, definitely connect with me, guys. Thanks, everybody. Yeah. Bye.
Have a nice day. You mentioned sending links earlier. Send me those links, please.
Yeah, yeah. I will send links. Yeah, for sure.
Cool. All right. Who else wants to give a closing statement?
Well, I think Ilhan should. She's been quiet.
How's she going to give a closing statement when she ain't even open? Leave her asleep. Let's probably get some tea right now. But yeah, Devlin. Oh, man, you're the only one left. Devlin, and your hand is white too. I don't even know what to do with you, Devlin. Go ahead.
Thank you, Pawn. And, you know, just I got a lot of respect for what you're doing with Roy. I really need to learn more about that, you know, giving people laptops and stuff. That's fucking awesome. So I just wanted to, I spoke on your last space about this when the same issue came up, because I think it's really important getting people into tech. You know, I am no UI UX. I do realize the importance in UX. That's why I took that course to make my, you know, applications look better. It's really important to get people on your site and stay there. I like to think of UI UX as a little off topic, but like as ketchup bottles. You know, you got the plastic one that sits upside down, and you got your ketchup that sits on the bottom, and then you got your, and that's the UX. You know, because you open the cap, you squirt it, you get all your ketchup out. It's perfect. Then you got the glass bottle that sits upright and it looks beautiful. But you try and get that ketchup out, you got to slam the bottle, you know, you got to shake it, and it's just annoying as hell. It looks great, but it's just a pain in the ass to use. And that's the difference between great UI and great UX. So,
oh, no, please don't. Please don't say that to a UI UX designer. They will hate you.
Oh, my God.
They
I was just listening, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Don't do it.
Okay, apparently I'm way off on that, so my apology. I retract my statement.
No, man.
No, it's perfectly okay. It's got the spirit in there. The ketchup bottle has the spirit of what we're doing, but it's just
you can have both. You know, you can have great UI and great UX. I'm just saying the ketchup bottle is an example of the difference between a great UI and a great UX.
I know, we hate the ketchup bottle analogy.
The moment he went, he just said, I think about like ketchup bottles. I almost unmuted myself. I was like,
I know, all of our eyes just rolled. I could hear it.
Oh, man. I didn't realize that was a popular analogy. I just heard it the other day. I'm sorry if I put any UI UXs in here. I will never speak of the ketchup bottle analogy again.
I'll send you out.
But anyway, to get to my main point real quickly about bringing people into tech, you know, if you don't have a laptop, you don't have, you know, anything to code on, if you're lucky enough at least to live in a first world country and there's I'm not sure about third world countries, but, you know, there's libraries, plenty of libraries out there that have laptops, have computers that you can use. There's plenty of free resources on the internet. You don't have to pay a dime. I haven't paid a cent to learn how to code a single thing. I did have to pay for the UX course, but when it came to coding, at least, I know this is UI UX, but when it came to coding, there's lots of free, even for UI UX, there's tons of free resources out there to learn for free. And there's libraries that have resources like laptops to hand to you if you're lucky enough to live in a country that has those resources. So I just want to point that out there, that while you're waiting on Pawn and Rob to get their thing set up, major props to them for doing that. There are ways to get started right now, and you absolutely should.
Get started right now. Absolutely. I love it.
100%.
Anybody else closing statements? Stan Yee, I haven't heard anything.
Yeah. I just want to let everybody know you all are creators, and if you're undervalued and underprivileged in whatever you do, understand that you can leave that place and build your own shit. You are dominant.
Oh my God. This is so smart, man. A lot of people don't really think about that.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be tasking y'all going forward from this space, right? If you're especially like you're on the junior end of design, take the stuff that's been spoken about today and either do some research on it or write on it. Like, I'm actually writing an article about this space, like, right here as we speak, right? And I want people, if you're out there making some design tomorrow, take a bold step and deviate from the norm just for a second and put it out there and see what people say, all right? Just put it out there. Just tweet it out. You could tag me, tag any of the people in here, and just get opinions, right? So if you go do something gamified or any other design pattern that you go for and decide to just kind of deviate, publicize it and see what people say. And if it's something worth continuing, you just carve that niche for yourself, right? That's what my closing statement is. But I'm the host, so I could keep talking.
Yeah, but you can close the space, man. Don't keep talking.
But like, Paul, I said this. I think we need to come up with this same topic, man. It's interesting, and I like contact a few of these like CEOs. I have a few on my sleeves and shit like that. I could contact. We need to bring them on here to come and explain themselves, because they will have different perspective from these designers that are just here speculating what might be the possibility of why we don't have a lot of space. But if you can be able to talk to the horse, I guess you can let it like drink water. You don't have to force it. So that's what that's stupid analogy, but I guess you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, that's a fucked up.
If we can bring those CEOs here, if we can bring them here, drag their ass here, talk to them and hear their own perspective, we'll see it's a whole lot different than a designer that is saying, oh, hey, probably this might be the reason. That might be the reason. We're all dumb, right? We're all designers.
Areas, though. Yeah. It's not even about that. It's not about the CEOs in that sense. Like, yeah, obviously they need to be reeducated, but dude, CEOs only listen to money, right? You call them into a space, we're gonna have to trick them into getting there. We're gonna how to get more money as a CEO. Then they come in, that we lock them in and start talking about UI UX, right? That's the only way that's gonna work. If you think you're gonna invite some CEOs and like, hey man, let's discuss UI, they're gonna leave, bro. Like, they have things to do.
Oh, yeah,
the shift has to come from the authors of the design. That's the bottom line. It's like I said, it's what devs do, bro. We do it so well. I'm literally going to go create a library called Hidash, because there's Lodash, right? I'm going to call it a library for high people. And then boom, the whole industry is going to pick it up and all start smoking weed. And then now there's a new demand for devs who smoke weed. Like, that's just what we do as devs. We do it so well. We just invent stuff and it increases the job opportunities for us. But designers don't do that, which confuses me. Yeah, web designers don't do that. Game designers do it, because for every new game, there's a whole different UI, right? And they keep themselves relevant. But on the web, everybody's doing the same thing. It's just the last team I worked on, there's not even a UI UX designer. Like, they just left it to the devs. And it worked. This was crazy. It went amazing, dude. Like, they made hella money from it. Right, so you're not gonna bring CEOs up and what, convince them to spend more money hiring? No. You don't need to convince. You know, that's my point. Like, when you bring them up here, what are you gonna say? Hey, man, hire more UI UX people. They'll be like, all right, cool, whatever, and they leave. But if you make a change and they see the metrics, oh, this is what's happening if I gamify my UI. Now they're gonna come in here and be like, hey, man, we're the UI UX people that do this stuff, right? So that's the shift that we need to make happen. What's up, Lolo?
Go
ahead.
No, I just wanted to say it's nice having everyone on here. Like, you know, but Lolo, go ahead, man. I feel like we're at the edge of closing the space.
I'm about to head out, but I wanted to say just another thing about UX research. It's a great opportunity to get stakeholder alignment. So it's a way for people to actually visually see that there's a misalignment with what people and users really want and the expectations that the business has, and also the expectations that the technology can actually do and what can be delivered. So just a great time to just really get everyone on the same page. It's something that corporate Fortune 500s do all the time. And another key phrase is that it moves the bottom line. Like, it moves the bottom line of the money. People love that. That's it. And this is a great space. Thank you guys so much. I have to run anyway, so this is awesome.
Lolo, absolutely. Thanks for joining us. We definitely should connect about some more UI UX spaces. I'm glad you came through.
I would love to. Yeah.
Definitely. Who's in the LA area right now? Because I'll be in LA next week, Super Bowl. I'd love to connect with some of you guys.
I'm in LA.
Oh, wow. Definitely DM me, because I'm working on something big for us, you know. So just definitely DM me on that.
Yo, hit me up, Bravado. Let's talk.
Got you. Appreciate you.
Yeah, definitely. We'll do, man. I just want to let everybody know, like I said, man, it's, you know, it's us, man, to create the new generation, and it's us to create the new world. And I feel like a lot of our generational, you know, generation haven't, you know, attempted that. But, you know, now is the time where
the structures that and the powers that be are now, you know, leveraging to the point where it's the devs now that can make this and build this and coders and all these, you know, smart, you know, black people on this earth. We can make the world we wanted to make and do the things we wanted to do, and nothing's stopping us. The power's in your hands.
Amen. And Tony, to that point that you just made, for y'all, like, literally, I have people like my friends looking to get some black-controlled venture capitalist studios up to kind of give us some more opportunities. But the main thing is about pitching ourselves. And I just, this is a little segue, but I want to say, if you're a black person with ideas, please throw it out there before you even create it. And I'm saying that, like, not like, oh, they're going to steal it kind of thing, but I'm saying, give yourself a market in the community. The biggest problem we have is we build and then try to put it out there, and the whole world has moved ahead. But if you try to create a community, and I'm,
that's because, you know, we all separate, man. We have taught to not be inclusive together. We all taught to, I'm better than you. I shine better than you. I do better than you. It's about me. It's about greed. We sell our souls to the almighty dollar. We sell our self-respect, our culture, for the almighty dollar. And until we realize that, we need to protect our culture and realize that shit ain't popping until we tell it's popping, until we put our hands into it. We all going to have to be oppressed.
That's what I'm saying. But it's crazy because, like, if you look at platforms in the creator economy, right, Instagram, Snapchat, all of them, they're mostly powered by black people, right? The biggest creators in them, like people who are driving crowds and the following and the, like, activity, is mostly black people. But then when you look at these firms, it's not black invested, it's not black owned, right?
But you see that, though. You see what you look at what they do with our culture. Look at these PFPs, man.
That's my point. You know what I mean? So if you look at, and I've been telling people, like, that's why I want to, like, I'm building this community for black ideas, for people to be able to pitch. And it's inclusive for everyone to invest in worldwide, but it's going to be prioritizing people who have ideas from our communities. And that's, I'm saying that out there, like, for everyone who's in here, like, black ideas is a thing. Invest in black ideas. And let's make our money. Definitely, but yeah, man. I'm wrapping it up here. My goldfish wants to go to a party, so I got to get her some pregame. My goldfish, I mean an actual goldfish. But anyways, yeah, I'll take it.
Hey, I was talking about weed earlier, too. I was like,
what are you saying, bro?
Somebody said something about weed earlier, too, like, devs love weed and shit. I was like, could you imagine, like, in the future, like, they're getting paid by weed currency and shit? Like, oh, I need you to develop something, I'll send a pound to your house. Like, what? God, man. Yeah, devs, like, yeah, pay me in weed. I was like, what?
Okay.
Pay me
in oh, man. Y'all been amazing, man. I love it. Here's to everything. Everybody drink water, stay healthy, stay safe. Avoid people that don't like you, because that's just ugly. And go out there and be great, y'all.
Oh, my God.
And Devlin, stop being a junior. Devlin, stop being a junior, man. Level up, dog. I'm just looking.
Man, find someone to send me an offer, bro. I'm trying to level up out here. It's hard.
Bro, Devlin, do you not see what happens in all my spaces, bro? Like, as mad CEOs who join and just pitch, bro, talk to them. I'm telling you, like, literally, two people came in here earlier and said they need a front end, bro. Two people DM'd me off here saying they need a front end. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, right. Connect with people, man. Yeah.
You got it.
Y'all take it easy, man. I'm out of here.
All right. Take care. Stay safe, man. Stay safe, everybody. Have a good one.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was part two of a two-part space, UI, UX, and Web3 Design. Let's explore new possibilities. Hosted by Pawn on Monday, January 31st, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Itchy and grimy, staying alive when the virus took over and showed us how to die. First it started out with a little coughing fit. Next thing you know, getting fitted for a coffin shit. Break out the Sunday best, breaking runaway sweats like a funhouse mirror, making fun of these pets.
Are we done yet? Just 5 more minutes. Make the decision to pull the plug and let's get dinner. Winner spinning dizzy round a thinning circle. Hair trigger slipping, so much for keeping it surgical. Disintegrate that micro, finger on the Lysol. Kicking doors in, but never find the right stall. The bark is worse than the bite, y'all dishonest. Liars lying about how big their lion is. Cage rattled, I gotta keep the flow hypnotic. So I stole this tiger shirt from Joe Exotic. The tiger should be here tomorrow. Meow. Gift baskins from a secret admirer. Acting like you ain't the one to get fed to the tiger. One false move, one little slip up, get your guts ripped up. Drunk off the stigma, funky with my pimp cup. The dude abides, missing a couple teeth, but that's by design. Friendly reminders to make better decisions. Keeping that distance, preventing collisions. The business end of this beast is all teeth, all weak. We'll call you, so don't ever call me. Wrapped up in the lines, feeling kinda sorry. Switching it up from alarm to alarming. Whether or not it's balmy, laying by the palm trees. My favorite time, kicking it with the fall breeze. Living like the king of this redneck ghetto. Waiting for the day I get my Netflix special.
Ladies and gentlemen, before you hear it on the news, I'm going to tell you myself. About an hour ago, we had an incident where one of the employees stuck their arm through the cage and a tiger tore her arm off. I can give you your money back, or I can give you a rain check. Why don't you come back at another day?
What do you want me and Paul to do right now?
Do chores.
Chores.
Be safe.
Okay, back to it.
Do not stick your hands in any cages.
All right.